Blog Talk Radio. Mother Earth Show. We are glad you entered into the mystery this evening. I am your host, Golden Hawk, and here with my lovely co-host, Janine Kimmel. Welcome to the show, Janine.
Hello, Goldie. Hello, everybody. Glad to be here in the paradox.
Exactly. People, just so you know, get your rabbit holes ready. We're going in. Well, we're already in. We're going deep. We're, you know, it is that infinite black hole into the white hole kind of thing.
Yeah,
tonight's going to be a very interesting show.
I could tell it was because, you know, I have several choices where I can be when I'm talking. And,
okay.
I can be, you know, in three different places that are, you know, two are more like office-like, and I chose the more comfortable candlelight in the living room, just sort of like wanting to feel comforted because I'm going, well, we're going to be talking about the unseen and the subtle awarenesses and the paradoxes, and sometimes, you know, you just kind of need to be, not that it can get overwhelming, but it can, you sort of have to take it as it comes to you, but in some sort of, you can't push it too hard, because I think
absolutely, yes.
I think that Golden Hawk and I were talking earlier that you come up against these kind of places where you go, okay, so I'm here, and this is where my understanding is, and I can't seem to push past that right now. And I actually was thinking about this about 20 minutes ago when I was choosing to be in this more cozy setting with candles, and I just was like, this feels really nice. This is where I want to be. And I'm thinking, you come up to those places of can't, you know, kind of can't go past that place of understanding for the moment. I mean, that may drop and, you know, by tomorrow have a more understanding, or even in the next hour. But I think it's almost like a safety, because as you invite the truth in, and as you explore the unseen of yourself, which then I think allows more to be seen of yourself and the universe, I do think it's kind of like, whoa, you know. So
yeah.
So I was really choosing this this place tonight to talk that felt very comforting and safe and with candlelight and cozy.
Yeah, I love it. Nice.
You get it?
I'm going to light some candles, actually.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know.
I always feel safe in this genre, meaning I'm on the air and, you know, I have you now, which is clearly, from my perspective, having a partner to do this show. I definitely feel safe. But
well, I was just feeling, because I was really exploring today, and I think, you know, I was the open mind, the open heart, and I was going, there's a lot to know.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I was just going, well, maybe it's good it happens in increments.
And you know what? I think, to be honest, look at birth, you know, when the cells are doing all their growth. You know, it's literally not just in a moment. You don't go from zero to a trillion cells, right?
Yeah.
It's literally in increments, and everything in an organic way is about incremental expansion.
The processes, yeah,
right, as well as incremental collapses. You know, that there is both contraction as well as expansion.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And, you know, it's funny because, you know, and who knows what the element of fire is for me tonight, but it's comforting. And, you know.
Well, you got candles going. So.
You got candles going. You know, so, you know, who know, I don't know, but, and that could even be another clue to more truth, you know. I don't know, the fire element, who knows. But I was watching some Nassim, man, it was just incredible, you know, some of the what you believe to be true and the possibilities of what is, just, you know, about the sun and, it was just incredible, you know, and it was.
Yeah.
It was really expanding my understanding, but I was like, wow, I gotta go light some candles.
You gotta what? You gotta what?
Light some candles.
I know. So funny. I just got done lighting them. I've got four lit now as well. And
yeah, I want, you know, I don't know. It just feels comforting. So, yeah, so anyway, happy to be here.
Oh, you know, delighted that you're here, and you know, I'm happy to be here too. This has been, you know, yet another week of just the level of awareness. I don't know how many of you guys in the audience heard my show on Thursday with Lisette, but it really brought an awareness to me, a really big awareness actually, that, you know, you guys have been hearing me talk about releasing. I'm releasing people, and I'm releasing addictions, and I'm releasing, you know, even at the moment, jobs. I'm releasing so much. And Lisette's show, one of the main things I took away from it was that I'm releasing everything that I created based in my pain body. And, you know, by releasing the pain body, everything that was created with it, no, it doesn't resonate. You know, it's like, I don't know what came first, the chicken or the egg, meaning I don't know if I had consciousness of releasing the pain body or I'm releasing the things that, you know, were created in the pain body, then making it easier to release the pain body. But either way, there's a recognition in that awareness that, wow, in order to create anew, you know, it's almost like the microcosm of what planet Earth is going to do. Very similar to what George talks about when he says, so what, we're all going to become enlightened beings, but in nature, you know, the bird's going to attack the worm to feed its babies, or the lion's going to attack the zebra to feed itself and its babies. You know, those are all circumstances that are coherent when we're in duality. But if we're going into a place where, you know, we're fifth dimensional and we're all... we don't even cast a shadow. Remember, we were even joking about that on our conversation. We don't cast a shadow. You know, we're not eating. We're not giving birth the way we used to. The whole construct of our being in the fifth dimension is different. So therefore, of course, nature itself is going to reflect that as well. Meaning that I'm starting to get that by just my desire to release things that I kind of had a hint, I had clarity, were just not serving me. It was like, you know, how many relationships can I have truly where it's, I'm learning about my dysfunctions because the relationship itself is dysfunctional. And the thing is, I was attracted to these relationships. I felt the attraction, just like I felt the attraction to cigarettes, just like I felt the attraction to drugs. And I've never been one that just because it's bad, you know, quote unquote, socially unacceptable or legally, you know, illegal, that's not going to be enough to turn me away. You know, what's going to turn me away is something is going to happen within my physical being. In other words, my senses are going to turn it off where I'm just not attracted anymore to it. Mm. And I never had so much clarity at this point that everything that I'm letting go of is the creation of my pain body. And it's like, whoa. I mean, it was like, I know it kind of sounds like one of those umbrellas, you know, like, but that's exactly the clarity I had. And what was interesting is last night I had a dream. I was telling Janine this earlier, that I was being chased. Now, I used to get chased in my dreams all the time when I was younger. And the one thing I remember distinctly about when I was being chased is I would hide in these most incredible spaces. Even as a kid, when I literally played hide-and-go-seek, nobody ever found me. I mean, it literally got to the point where we stopped hiding so good, Goldie, because, you know, they're not looking for you anymore. It's like, so I'm sitting in my hiding space, but there's no, you know, you want to have some interaction with the people playing the game as opposed to they just left me there because they couldn't find me. But in my dreams, I would have amazing hiding spaces, and the way I look at it now is the shadow always found me. Now, that's a really important part because last night when I had the dream, first of all, being chased, that is something new. I haven't been chased since I worked with the shaman from Ecuador, which was in like 2003. My chase dream stopped. Yesterday I dreamed, this morning when I woke up, I had a dream that I was being chased. Now, the key about this dream was I got away. And I was telling Janine when I woke up, I was like, but there's something not right about this dream. I didn't feel celebratory because I ran and got away. Because I'm really at the point right now, it's like, turn around and face what's chasing you. You know, I can never get away. Even if in this dream I got away, that's an illusion. And it's an illusion that I'm not in the mood to play with. No, I'm in the mood. I'm in the mood. The candles are lit. Let's play with the illusion. Well, it was just interesting because it's like I can't really explain it from a mathematical point of view, but it seems to be the next level for me that now I have certain tools in my consciousness that I can hide. But my whole goal for everything is to be transparent. So it's a,
right.
It's a weird thing. It's like life is giving me better tools to play the game of illusion, but my whole goal is not to play in it at all. At fifth dimension, I think it still has duality, but the whole illusion of, you know, the intensities of polarities is not there. And that's what I want to get beyond. So it's an interesting space to be. When Janine was talking about walls, it's like, you know, I'm cruising along, getting all this clarity, and then I hit the wall because, bam, I got chased in the dream, which is something I have to, you know, I'm revisiting again. But it's from a completely new space. And so that's, I think the spiral for me is that it's now because I got away. That's something new that I have to explore it now from the point of view, I guess, you know, where I got chased and I got away. Even though...
Yeah.
You know, like I said, I'm not really celebrating that because why am I running? Well, you know, what is it that I'm afraid of that I'm not facing?
Yeah, but I see this, you know, I mean, at this point I see everything. When you're on this path, it's a natural process. And, you know, like today when we were speaking earlier on the phone and I was following what you were saying and we were talking about something interesting in terms of understanding, and it could have even been about this, but I was following you, and then I got to a place, and maybe we're even talking about deception on a bigger scale, which then you would almost think must be on a smaller scale, self-deception, and I was,
right.
we were talking.
Yeah.
And I was
yeah.
following it, and then I got to, and there was no emotion, I was just, it was as if I was going, and then I came to this place, and this was very, very new in that it was so noticeable, but it was okay. I mean, there was no like, oh, I got to get past here. I just came to this place where I went as far as I could with my understanding, and then it was like, then you get, and you're like, oh, and you knew it too, because we both kind of got there.
We could feel that's where the awareness stopped.
We got to this awareness, and then we kind of couldn't go anymore, and it was fine. I mean, because I really think if you talk about things in terms of discovery or exploration, or, you know, that's how it works. And so
right.
I mean, it was kind of
right.
like, okay, Goldie, I guess we should camp here tonight. You know, it's like we've gone far
exactly.
enough. We'll try
that's
tomorrow.
That's a great way.
You know,
yes.
so.
Exactly.
So I see the dream because, you know, similar in that today had no, like, I had no judgment about, oh, I wish I could go. You know, it just was like a noticing. So to me, the dream would be you noticed, you were, you know, you made a noticing in your dream. But, like, to me, that would just be, oh, okay, so what will be the next? What, I mean, there'll probably be a progression or a noticing.
Right.
But, it, you know, and so it's to me, it's just a moving forward and unfolding. But what I think is interesting that I came up with to myself, for myself, everything in its time, because, you know, I've realized that if you open, the more, like my noticing today of reaching that level of understanding and then going, okay. So I'm noticing, though, that I'm very willing, the open heart, the open mind, but, you know, I realize that there is a process of, it does happen in increments because I think it needs to, you know, so you ran.
Yeah, I think it's an organic expression.
It is organic.
So, because,
you know,
if you look
so
at
you
all of nature,
and,
it all happens in increments.
Yeah,
so, indeed.
Yeah, and I also think it's amazing that you actually remember the last chasing dream. I mean, that's real, like, as far as, like, remember I was saying earlier too, it's almost like a mapping. It's like you've
yes,
it's like sometimes we can map what's going on, and yeah, like for you to be able to notice that the last time I had that chasing dream, I mean, that's like really good mapping to me. It's like, wow.
Yeah.
You know, great memory of yourself. I mean, that's truly noticing something about yourself. And so, and then just to bring in the importance of that would be, and not to over, like, I don't think anyone should be, this is like, my full-time job is to notice everything about myself. Because, I mean, I really don't think that's the way it happens. It's got to be more organic than that. You know,
it can be, if it's organically like that, there's nothing wrong. I mean, I'm obsessed with awareness. I admit it. I am. But it's not because someone's twisting my arm. I mean, and I keep saying it's because I want to ascend, but when
wait,
I find myself in the now, yes,
I'm
who
trying I to wonder, I'm trying to wonder if there's, in lies a paradox.
Well, that's what I want people to know. I think it's whatever you're obsessed about, though,
no, and
can
I
be utilized with awareness. Because awareness is just being aware of what you're obsessed with as opposed to saying what to be obsessed with.
Right, right. And
you know,
on a daily basis, it just becomes your way of life. I mean, that's really,
exactly.
Like, it's just a daily life. There's no conscious, you know, five times today. I mean, you just are that. But, but what I like about, and another thing I was thinking about earlier, because I really was like, wow, there's so much to know that, thank God for laughter, because I really know that laughing is an important part of this process, because it's pretty wild, you know? And so, yeah, I was like, oh, it's really good to laugh. And you know, even when you said I'm obsessed with awareness, it made me laugh, which is good, because I need to laugh. You know, I need that. It's a balance.
It's a wonderful balance.
It lightens
As
me.
Well as a balancing, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
It just brings
so
everything into a
balancing of the physical.
Very,
you know?
Much in the physical. That's exactly.
Yeah.
Laughter and tears are so incredibly, they tweak the physical form in ways that I think are just go beyond magical. You know what I mean? There's alchemy in both laughter and crying.
Right. Well, like, yeah, like if we
more
were
than just
instrument.
Sound coming out or drops coming out of the eyes. In other words, there is something that happens throughout every cell in the body when those two, you know, emotions are experienced that, you know, you should let them rip.
Yeah.
On both cases, you know,
yeah,
whatever you feel
like
the need
we
to do, do it.
If we were out of tune and a good laugh will bring
exactly.
You back in, or if we were
exactly.
Out of tune.
It's like a fine tuner.
And
yes.
A good
not
cry
a big tuner. It's
no,
a,
like they're fine. Yeah, they're fine tuning.
Exactly.
So,
yes.
So it is, laughter is important for me. And, you know, I'm not saying crying isn't, because, but I seem to be going. I mean, my eyes will well up when I'm moved by something.
Yeah.
You said something the other day that you both of us, our eyes got full. But, you know, and that's something that
I remember what it was, too.
When I was touched deeply, my eyes well up. But when, you know, and then there's other times where I'm just full out laughing, and they're both so great, you know.
Well, and you're a natural, you have, like, literally comedic timing. I mean, Janine, you really, laughter is clearly a part of your essence. I mean, I mean that not just because we do so much laughing, but I'm around people who you just can tell it's part of the makeup of who they are because they bring it in when most people, you know, might yell and screaming. You know, you bring in the same concept with a humorous side to it because that is your natural talent, you know, I mean, or a natural gift that you just it balances the situation to be able to laugh when things are, you know, when shit's hitting the fan, basically, as well as, you know, not hitting the fan, even just, you know, a morose moment could also need, you know what I mean? It's it's natural, though, with you.
I would say that I do have a knack for delivery.
You do. You do, definitely. Definitely. So it makes it so much fun doing all this exploration with you because I'm really noticing in my own expression that I am... I am returning back. I mean, this has something to do with the time and the timeless and the seen and the unseen. I am finding myself literally behaving in ways that I used to behave when I was in seventh grade.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why that's, like, significant in my world is prior to most of my, like, I mean, I had some shit go on when I was a young child, you know, sexually molested, all that stuff. And I'm not saying that didn't affect me. But in all honesty, I tripped out and couldn't get a grip. It took me, you know, all the drugs and everything. That happened in puberty.
Mm-hmm.
Prior to puberty, it's almost like I didn't even know the molestation was bad. It was like until it became a taboo. Because it was never violent or anything, you know. I mean, I have memories definitely that it was, you know, it's weird how, you know, it's almost like I've seen a person slam their finger in the door, in a car door, and until they looked at their finger, they didn't cry. You know, like we opened the door and they were holding it, but once they had a sight of it, you know, the distortion of this finger being squashed made them feel so much more. And in seventh grade, I was queen bee. It was by seventh and eighth grade, the best time of my life prior to where I am at now. You know, it's like, so I was basically 11 or 12. And, you know, I had, you know, several friends. I was a natural leader and it was okay to be a natural leader. Because I was telling Janine this earlier that here were the factors that were not involved in my life. It wasn't a factor what you looked like. Sex was not a factor in my life yet. And money was not a factor in my life yet. All the constructs of what we know as adults as the powers, you know, the sex, the money, and the looks. It's none of that was a construct in my life. And when it was just about charisma and an auric field, I ruled.
Yeah.
I was confident. I knew what I was doing. I created what I wanted to create. It was mutually shared by others. You know, it was beautiful. Well, I am returning to that state of being. And there is some magic going on in my world in the returning, in the releasing of the pain body. I'm releasing the sexual tension. I'm releasing, I mean, I don't wear makeup, you know, I don't wear makeup. I do 99.9% of all my dealings with the public. I have no makeup on. I dress in very nonchalant clothes, you know, sweatpants and flannel shirts and sweatshirts. You know, I'm not looking to be adored or admired by the people I don't know on the streets. I'm not even interested in the people I don't know on the street. In fact, I'm realizing that I'm coming out of the idea of I wanted to be invisible. You know, when I was going through a lot of the integration of my dark, I just didn't want to deal with anything outside because inside was, you know, all half fury. You know, I was going through my own volcanoes and earthquakes and tsunamis, and you know, there's a lot to take care of yourself when you're doing that. You can't take care of yourself and also invite, you know, the world of the outside to come play. I couldn't anyways. I won't speak for anybody else. And it seems like I'm coming back to the place where it was like, There's a draw for me to want to be social again, but not based on the things, you know, the looks, the power, or the money, or the sex.
Yeah.
You know, that's not what I'm wanting to do. I'm just kind of
being. Yeah.
Right. And seeing who is attracted in my world to me just being.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's pretty magical stuff because somebody just tonight came in from, you know, I haven't seen a friend of mine that I haven't seen in like, gosh, seven, eight months. You know, and we kind of picked right back up where we were. And, you know, he loves me and I love him. He's a beautiful soul. But like he's part of the pain body. I mean, that's as simple as that. He's part of my pain body. He's part of the friction, like you were saying. And I'm like going, well, you know what? He needed some help. I'm delighted to help him. And then I basically said, I don't think we really need to go in. You know, you don't need to call me. We don't need to talk after. You know, let's get what you need done. If you need me again, call me. But as far as, you know, doing the get on the phone, let's become friends again. We haven't. No, I'm good. And that is just, that's truly bizarre. Because I've never felt like this before. Yeah, this is.
Well, things get less entwined and less, you know, what's the word, like, you know, the webs, or we, you know, it just gets less,
right.
The liberating
more simplistic
of the self, it really helps affect relationship where the relationships are, they're less embedded or, you know, they're just freer more than true,
yeah,
probably.
Effortless.
There
are such thing as an, what is it,
yeah.
Effortless, right? I, Ginny, my relationship with you is effortless.
Well, thank you. I mean, and also,
you're welcome.
You know,
it's a standard, though, damn it.
What?
It's a standard. I just can't deal with anything less. I mean.
Standard. Well, no, thank you. And
sure.
I think that, you know, what's really, what I've noticed about the consistency in my own self is that I would consider myself quite the intense and serious student of the universe and truth and opening to letting go of belief systems, but I am incredibly playful and silly, and you know, and it's so nice to have both, and you know, and you notice it, and you respond to it, and it is very much like kid-like, but it's just fun, you know, and so.
But it's also awareness. I mean, I agree, absolutely. The kid-like is awesome, but it's coupled with an awareness that you, it's like you have an awareness of the subtleties of life.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know how many people are on the planet that are awakening, you know, I know me and Janine aren't the only ones, and that's not what I'm claiming. I'm just simply saying that, you know, in the subtleties of life,
mm-hmm.
Like, shucks, in the subtleties of life, Goldie nails her knee and
what happens?
It's what happens when you watch the when you do a show in the dark.
What, did the candles go out?
Yeah, there's a kangaroo in my room. I would love to share that visual about the leaves. Can we share that?
Yeah, because
is it okay?
Yeah, because you... Because I thought on Friday you shared an image with me in the morning that was so beautiful and kind of just symbolically, you know, to me, like represented what the discovery that's going on right now for myself, for you, for a lot of people. But, yeah, I mean, share it and then
okay.
'Cause I thought it'd be a great seed for moving on from there, you know?
Right, right, because just so everybody knows, it's hard. Janine at the moment is literally the only person that's in my life right now that I speak with about my awarenesses and enlightenments and even being stuck. So what happens is we talk about it, and then I'm like, we got to bring this on to the air. So on some level, you guys are, you know, getting a continuation of, because I can't give up talking to Janine. I won't. And you can't make me. But I do want you guys to get caught up, because there's such brilliance in the conversation, because it can help bring awareness. So lately, my intensity in my awareness is to become aware of the unseen. And one of the first things that helped me to recognize that this is what I'm focusing on is I was in the woods the other day, and I was watching the wind, but I was watching the wind as it carried the leaves in a circular motion. It's like all of a sudden, you know, I was training my eye. I could feel it. It's a shift, and it's a shift in perception, not necessarily your actual physical eyeball. But I shifted the perception to not watch the leaves go around, but to see the body of wind that was creating it, to see the unseen. And I watched it. I watched this body of wind go across the forest. I mean, I went, Jesus, I can see the unseen. Simply
yeah,
because
so
I
cool.
intended to see that. It was wild.
You know, that's so cool, because I was just listening to Nassim earlier, and he was talking about what you can't, the empty space that appears to be empty, but it is far from empty. But
yes.
then we're matter that the empty space is around, but we have a direct relationship with the empty space, and it's actually like a vacuum. And then he went so far as to discuss how we communicate with that space, and that in lies how we come across more and more and more as we communicate with this, the synchronicities of everything. But so I was really getting that the more, it's like an incredible, the more you discover in the unseen, the more you know about the scene, and there's a direct relationship between the two, which then takes us into, when we're talking about ourselves, that the more you allow yourself to see the unseen in yourself, the more you understand yourself and the scene of yourself. And you, I mean, it's like this beautiful relationship. And so, you know, that's why I'm always encouraging within myself, but with other people, and I know you are too, that to encourage to look at the unseen of ourselves, because it is like a fractal or a map or of everything. So I'm
of everything.
So I was thinking today, like if you had no books, if you had no computers, if you had no microscopes, if you had no telescopes, if you had no anything. If you could keep uncovering the unseen of yourself, you would actually get to know everything. I mean, it's even in nature, like, you know, I mean, Thoreau said it, if you could literally know the universe by looking at a leaf. But
literally, exactly.
Literally.
Yes.
So I'm always, I mean, you know, I am obsessed, I guess, too, because this is just an area that I get very excited about for people and myself and you and everyone, where you go, no, look at the unseen, let it be come out, and you know, because you absolutely, it's like exponentially you start to understand
everything.
Yeah, and that's incredible, because then deception falls away, you know, but the thing about it is too, is that it's so amazing, because truly the belief systems really need, you know, to be let go. And that's that's the tricky part, I think, where that takes almost practice where, you know, what does it feel like to let a belief system be up for grabs and go, you know, I know you're one of my belief systems, but, you know, everything I need to know that I can let go of things in order to bring in new truths, new unseens to
being.
Yeah, so it's an incredible experience. It is truly exploration. It's great adventure as far as I'm concerned. But that's why I'm in the living room with candles lit, because I'm like, yeah, I just want to be cozy. because there's a lot to know.
Exciting, though. It's exciting to know there's
exciting.
A lot to know.
It really is exciting. It is.
Yeah.
So I think that from the leaf on the unseen wind, it's amazing what can trigger, you know, your understanding, my understanding, that you just can literally follow and, like, take it wherever you want to take it, as far as you can take it, you know. And, yeah, so whoever's listening, you know, if we're evoking... If we're evoking feelings and thoughts and ahas, you know, feel free to share.
Yes, 646-929-2084. Would love to hear, you know, anything. I don't care tonight. Just call up and share. I miss you guys. I miss my audience. So feel free to just call up and share something that made you feel good. Or if you, I mean, part of the unseen is understanding how everything has a purpose, how pain has a purpose. That's part of the unseen, you know, from our belief systems. And because I'm starting to really kind of have the understanding of the unseen. I'm a big fan of psychology. Human behavior just absolutely fascinates me. And since we're getting closer and closer to 2012 now, it's actually not just human behavior, but planetary behavior fascinates me, and universal or galaxy behavior fascinates me. I'm starting to realize that, you know, I've not just been interested in planets because, you know, they're big and colorful when they collide. I'm becoming interested in planets because I'm becoming interested in, it's not just about being human. Well, it is, in the sense of being human is represented by a planet, by a star, by a galaxy, by a cell, by a molecule, by an electron. You know, it's like whether you're going out into expansion or small into compression, it's like the middle ground might be the human being, but from a DNA point of view, we're all of it. You know, that's why it doesn't matter what you're obsessed with. I promise you, you're obsessed in one of the areas that will help you garnish all of the areas. If you're just allow yourself to go with what just brings you just crazy joy, even though everybody around you might go, well, you're crazy for doing it. Don't worry so much about, you know, because you'll find the other people who are doing their crazy joy, most of the people around them are calling them, you know, crazy. They're not seeing the joy part.
I think it's important to acknowledge, like we were saying before, because validating new discoveries, validating is important, because you don't want to deny what you're coming into or what you're knowing. You know, validating that. Yeah, as you discover or new awarenesses are coming in, you know, self-doubting them isn't really very empowering. It's not validating. And I think habitually we've been trained or encultured to not really that yourself could know something of pretty significant understanding. And I think it's important to validate that you do know, you know, and that, I think that's a very important piece of.
Can you share a personal story on that, on where you validated yourself and didn't worry about anybody else?
Well, you
a
know,
point,
well,
something point.
For sure. I mean, okay, well, okay. I could share a story of how I didn't, and then I'll share a story when I was younger. in my teens, I would write poetry that was very, very, I would say, inspired by nature and emotion. And I hid, and I, it was, you know, it was very on target in terms of, you know, beauty, passion, an understanding of nature, a true connection to nature. But it, you know, I spoke of maybe, like, maybe an old man that used to live in the woods, and, you know, I almost felt that I was that old man, and or at one time or another, in my, you know, in another life, and I had no idea where this stuff was coming from, and but it was sure. It was beautiful and transforming and intense, and I hid it for a long time, like 20 years, 15 years, because I was afraid to validate that part of me, you know. Mm. I never would call myself a poet. I never would have said I was a writer, or you know, I was connected to nature in a way that, you know, I mean, I should have been able to validate that, but I couldn't.
No shoulds, no shoulds. You're just witnessing
but
that.
No,
you did.
But I'm saying that it was clear that I was not able to validate that aspect of myself.
Okay.
Now,
okay.
Then when I creatively, I have created, you know, worlds, you know, within The Magic Gown, the book I wrote, and, you know, I took a little girl on a journey, and, you know, that was an exposure to the world that I decided I was going to, this was a public bringing out of all a lifetime of connection to nature, a deep, intense, creative connection that, you know, it's just natural in me. And I brought it out to the world, and it was a vulnerable thing to do, but I did it, and it was important for me to do. And so that was a true validation of, you know, and not everybody gets it, you know, and it's, you know, and not everybody, you know, understands the levels at which I believe are in there. And it's, and I stand by it, you know. And then another important aspect of validation that I think is happening now is when, in fact, you discover that, you know, you sense or you experience multiple dimensions and realities, and that you're kind of moving in and out of them. And I feel myself when I'm like, you know, I could be in discussion with you and, you know, you're off in these places, and or I'll be working, and I'll get up and I'll be painting, and you know, I'm just following something, and it feels as though you're, you know, but I say to you often, I'm validating these multiple dimensions and realities because they're important to, because they're coming to you, and they need to be validated, or you know. I just think that that's a very important part of the growth of knowing that you're not
self-validating is what I agree.
Self-validating, yeah,
yes,
yeah,
yes.
But then you know, giving them voice is another even coming
that's
on
another
the radio.
Level. Absolutely,
yeah,
absolutely.
Coming on the radio and speaking and is another level of validating these things, you know. And I think what's beautiful about it is it actually enhances and expedites the process because they're going out there into dark matter. See, that's what Nassim said that today, which I thought was amazing, where you're literally like the leaf is interacting with the wind.
Okay.
The leaf and the wind are in relationship. The wind is carrying the leaf. The leaf was within the wind. We, our consciousness, our knowingness, our physicality, we're interacting with empty space that isn't really empty, and it's responding back to us. It's a relationship. And the more you do that, the more it responds back to you. And the more you do that, the more synchronicities occur. It's just this incredible natural phenomenon, which I'm crazy about. And I, just an interesting today, this is so cool because I was watching a video that Nassim had of the sun responding to this giant, it was twice the size of Jupiter.
Yes.
And it went past the sun, and the sun threw out this giant solar flare in perfect reflexive interaction. And I don't know what happened to this giant twice the size of Jupiter's thing, or whether it was an, I don't know, but it changed it. It moved it. And I thought, oh my God, you know, he had talked about the sun having just being a consciousness, an intelligent consciousness. And I saw that when I saw the sun do that, it was responding in perfect timing to like it, this object. And I was like, wow, that is so amazing to me. And you know, I guess to me, validating is like the sun kind of doing, you know, when you're validating, you are responding to the messaging that's coming back and forth to yourself and the universe. And So that's important to me. That's an important part of the process. You know, is
I agree with that.
It's
right,
like
because
it
makes
it's
the
action.
Process yours. You
Plus,
know,
it's an action that you get a reaction from the universe, which is our relationship with the universe. So, you know,
yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
And now I'm having fun because now as I'm talking, I'm really getting, I'm like understanding it even more because you know that. One of the great things, and this was like three shows ago, that I'm very enamored but in awe of relationship of everything. Like, and maybe that's where that subtle thing comes in, you know, where I just, you know, it's like I notice the relationship, and obviously you do too, because that was the relationship of the leaves
yeah.
with the wind, which was the unseen. So you really did
yeah.
start to, you know, and you listen to a lot of these people talk like Nassim, and they're talking about relationship with whatever, you know. And so.
Right, or even the act of relating, which is,
yeah,
you had said
relating.
On last week, which is, right, which mean it doesn't have to necessarily be a conscious back and forth from the other end. You can be relating with something and it might not be relating with you, but, you know, in other words, it doesn't have to be validated on both ends for it to have, for it to be relating with something.
No, but with the part that I'm talking about, because I remember when I said there you posted something that made a big impression on me about noticing realities and paradigms and that validating them actually gave them, you know, they just gave them more, what's the word, like you could understand them more as you validated them, because they really kind of almost come in a greater capacity for you to understand.
Right,
so,
right.
Yeah, so, I mean, I don't know if I'm just explaining it well, but...
No,
you know,
you're doing fine. You're doing
fine.
Yeah,
yes, yes.
I remember that, and well, what I'm saying, because for me, for some reason, a relationship almost meant like it was that polarity of point A, point B, where point A sends something and point B sends something back, going, you know, like, because I used to say a message is only complete if it's received and then sent back in an acknowledgement, where when this thing two sizes of Jupiter went around the sun, remember it. It didn't pull Mercury into the sun's
things
orbit.
It didn't happen as they should have. Yeah.
Well,
so
it was in a relationship.
Something was going on there for sure, and you know.
Yes.
And
which means something's going on with us as well. You know, in other words, it's not just an object that's floating around the sun that it's created. It created. It was relating with the sun, but for some reason it wasn't relating with Earth, because Earth did not respond as if something with the polarity or gravitational pull of that size should have whacked Earth, you know, silly. Sh- should have just whacked us. Our oceans, our, it would have pulled us off axis. It would have totally...
No, I know. I know. And it was as if the sun was saying, don't get too close. Go that way.
Exactly. Exactly.
Don't come near my kids. No, I mean... That's what I thought it was like.
That's very
go
good.
Over there, go over there.
Yeah, huh.
I did.
Yeah.
I felt like the sun was kind of going, mm-hmm, go over there. but because it sent out this solar flare that was just sort of like
humongous.
Sending a boundary, like, go that way. You know,
it almost looked like it was the sun pushing it into another direction. I agree.
It really did. And, you know, I mean, Nassim said it beautifully, and, you know, I haven't really made up my mind, but he said that we were he felt that it was like we're in grace, like we got a second chance or something, because if all they knew from what they used to know about how things affect planets and gravitational forces, that should have done something differently, and it
very
didn't.
Differently. Yes.
So
yeah.
I mean, that's fascinating to me, and you know, I don't have any answers to that. I just think it's fascinating.
Right.
But anyway.
Well, I'll be honest with you. That is, the story that you just told, I mean, that has kind of been on my pressure button, so to speak. In other words,
mm-hmm.
from a fractal point of view, see, I want to know, why did this object not disturb us?
Right.
And it's interesting because,
it's a great question,
because it showed up, and because, see, if I can understand it from the point of view either from the sun and this object, or if I can understand it from my own point of view where, you know, almost like something that should trigger me doesn't.
Okay.
You know, as well as, or, because, I mean, to be honest, from where I'm at now at my level of awareness, when I watch that video, even to this day, I'm like, the reason why I'm investigating the unseen is because I'm getting the sense that, you know, we're in, you know, like a holodeck. You know, in other words, remember the movie The Truman Show? You know, it's like Jim Carrey basically realized, you know, he... And somebody's calling me. Somebody's calling me.
Call my phone.
I have a feeling it's a nanny gig that I applied for prior to the show, but you know, hey, they're just going to have to wait till tomorrow. So, okay, because it's interesting, right? Because I spoke to you today about the Truman Show, you know, and one of the things that I recently joined Netflix, and I'm laughing because when I was with my friend tonight speaking with him, I basically told him, because I've let go of so many people, that I used to be talking on the phone much more often. And, you know, I can't take up 14 hours of Janine's day talking to her on the phone. And believe me, she gives me large chunks of time to have these wonderful discussions. But since I'm not talking, I decided to join Netflix because there is a part of me that just wants to explore, you know, synchronicities and you know, parallel universes. And in Netflix, they've got TV and movies, you know, a whole bunch of stuff that is, you know, feeding my wonderful fancy of things going on. Because what's interesting is I just recently watched 17 episodes of a show called, and this is a TV show, a show called Life on Mars, which was, it's very interesting because I got to the 17th show since we spoke earlier today, Janine, and what's so interesting is everything came, all of the main characters' loose ends tied up, and I'll just give you a basic background of it. A gentleman was clunked over the head in 2008, woke up in 1973 as an adult with total memories of being in 2008, and he was a cop, and in this show, he was finding out all about the things, because in 1973 he was 4 years old. So he met himself as a four-year-old. He met his mother, his father. He was getting all this clarity about his life when he was four, except as an adult with all his experiences and all. In 1973, there was no technology like cell phones and laptops, and it was just a really interesting portrayal because the whole show, the majority of the show up until the very last episode, had nothing to do with quote-unquote Mars from a direct experience. It was just all about how the synchronicities in this guy's awareness was helping him solve cases, was helping him protect his mother. He actually, in one episode, saved himself when he was a little boy. He got an understanding from his father. And as I was watching this, I mean, it became so, like, clear to me that, you know, this whole idea of how many of us know the teachers that are saying, you know, time is not a linear thing. Time is a circular thing. And, like, I started getting an understanding that, like, I have parts of me that are in different timelines experiencing what I call, you know, the ultimate tying up of loose ends. It's like as I get closer and closer to my fifth dimensional experience, all of these loose ends have to get tied where there's balance. And I was watching the show. I was seeing synchronicities that I have with Janine in the show. I mean, the show was definitely talking to me on not just the level of watching this guy go through synchronicities, but the show itself was becoming synchronicities for me. And, you know, when I'm talking to Janine earlier about this, I'm, you know, she basically said, I had a dream about I met somebody who was living on Mars last night. You know, so we'll definitely, you know, we'll get into that. But the reason why I bring it up is because it's clear that I'm going beyond, like, I'm watching this show, and Janine didn't know about it. I just started watching the series yesterday, and then I finished the 17 episodes today. I didn't post it on Facebook because you can't post Netflix videos. It's not like YouTube. And I didn't even bring it up. I just began watching TV, this show, and then she dreamt about it, which tells me this whole reality, what's real, what we dream, it's getting very blurry in the seen and the unseen, very blurry. You know, there. The veil being the apocalypse, you know, which is the veil being removed. Everything, ironically, it's becoming clear, but from the standpoint of where we were standing in polarity, it's becoming very blurry first. You know, yeah. If you're not confused at this point, you know, you're really not in touch with what's going on.
Right.
That's the thing. We're all confused right now because everything that we were conditioned to be based on beings that had a more expanded point of view than we did, by contract, not by victim, by contract, flipped us, you know, flipped our beliefs. We literally would see upside down, and the veil being removed and the unseen and the seen coming together and the closing up of our emotional and physical lifetimes are getting cleaned up and balanced. It's like, and this is happening without any of us taking a course, eating a raw vegetable. You know, that is the organic process, in my humble opinion, that's happening right now. It doesn't matter if you're living, if you're a heroin addict, it's still happening to you. It doesn't matter if you're completely vegetarian and organic, it's happening to you as well. In other words, this is not something we have to apply for. This is just what's happening, and the fact is we're walking around really confused because the whole construct of our reality is based on what we believe.
Yeah.
The reason,
yeah,
partially why I'm bringing this up is also at the end of this series, life on Mars was about they were all in like these homeostasis machines.
Wow.
And there was a glitch in the program.
Wow.
So he was supposed to go back to 2008, but the glitch took him to 1973, where he met himself. And I'm going, you know, that reminds me of when doctors said we have junk DNA. You know, I'm like, you know, as Einstein said it, God doesn't roll any dice. There is never a mistake.
Right.
So what I really got was as they came closer to their time, in this last episode it became obvious, they awakened because they were just in the atmosphere of Mars. It was time to land this spaceship, this little shuttle ship. And they were five human beings that were getting ready to explore the surface of Mars. What I personally got was I saw so clearly how there is a larger time frame within all of us that when the cycle is time to be, when it's coming to a close, everything by nature will start tying it, the loose ends up. It will happen. We don't have to do it, but we can witness it and allow it to be. It can be very less painful if you witness things leaving you, if you just say, okay, bye-bye, as opposed to holding on. You know, picture yourself holding on to a piece of wood and you're in the raging river. You know, and the river's going, we want to take that wood, and you're on the side bank going, no, I want this wood. You know, it's just so much easier. Let go to what's going. Something else is going to come down the river. I mean, you know, I have this dance I'm doing with you, Janine, that is bringing in all sorts of other consciousnesses and energies. And one thing that is just blatantly clear for me right now is, life is talking to me on so many different levels, and I mean, like, directly. The other day I was in the woods, and I saw a bald eagle.
Wow.
In all honesty, I don't see many bald eagles.
Oops.
I know that they're definitely growing. Hello?
Oh, I know. I just heard a funny sound. That's okay.
Okay.
I don't know what it was.
Well, and I noticed I didn't talk about it much anywhere. I don't know why, you know, I just didn't. But I was like, it's almost like for me that was like, see, that's me telling me, you know, okay, you're going into another step of an awareness. You know, this
right.
is just another way
right.
to know the bar has been raised. And it's not that the hawk is not completely dear to me and still brings me all my messages. It's just that day, you know, it was telling me you're in a new space, and all of this is talking to me. It's like, because all of a sudden, you know, as I saw the 17th episode, because there's something about the number 17 for me. I don't know if it's for everybody, but the number 17 just does something to me. That when it's time to wake up, it's going to happen because the program's going to end. You know, and I know it sounds so technology, but it's almost like if we have a technology for it, it's because it's in nature. We couldn't have a technology unless it was a natural experience that we could have within ourselves. You know, we can clearly talk to anybody around the world and in anywhere in the universe. We don't need handheld thing called telephones. You know, we don't. I mean, I was watching the show, and when Janine, and she, you know, I'm happy for you to share what you want, you know, about you dreamt about talking to somebody on Mars. We weren't using a cell phone to do that.
This is part of the stuff that I'm saying. Like, even this is a great example of validating it, because we're discussing it, you know, and people are listening. And it's important, too, because this is, you know, for lack of a better word, real, and these we are relating with forces and appears to be empty space, but it isn't, and we're in constant communication. And, you know, one of those great examples earlier, when I think it was like the second show we did, when I talked about this was exactly what we were talking about in terms of, like, well, you know, the universe will just be giving us messages differently. Like, for instance, you know, you'll see an owl and you'll know, and then within, you know, 2 minutes there was an owl hooing outside my window that
right.
night, and I started laughing because I was like, because that was very unusual for any owls around here. They're usually like 4 a.m. and they're maybe once every like 4 months. So, you know, but then last night, you know, unbeknownst to me, Golden Hawk was watching those shows. But when she said something about Mars, I went, oh, I had a dream that I was somewhere in a room and we were talking to different people, and someone introduced me to this man who actually had went to Mars. And I went, oh, so you went to Mars? And, you know, and I was curious as to what it was like. And if in fact he told me, I can't bring it back right now. But then this, another amazing thing is if anyone has heard me tell this great bluebird story that I had, you know, one another connection with nature, and then it went off further and dealt with this woman who I did therapy with who had a dream of a bluebird, and that's why she called me. And so then in the show last night, Golden Hawk sees that somewhere there's a stamp of a bluebird, and she thinks of me. And then, you know,
I mean, blatantly
later,
thought of you. It was like,
yeah,
that's all I thought was Janine is being shown me.
This man who had visited Mars. And just a little bit more is, last week I dreamt about this little girl who is my assistant when I do book signings, and we're very connected, obviously, and I dreamt that she brought a big, giant brown bear over, and he came in the house, and he was very friendly, and we're just talking, and I Facebook her and say, hey, I dreamt about you, and you brought a bear over to visit, and she couldn't believe it. I don't know if I scared the poor little thing, because she goes, oh, I had a bear dream, too. And then the week before that, two women from my grammar school call me and say, they both dreamt about me the same night, and they hadn't, you know, they haven't seen me since, like, maybe freshman year in high school or something. So, you know,
right.
There's
quite
all
some time.
This,
yes.
There's all this, you know, communication going on, and this, the veil dropping, and interdimensional, whatever. And, you know, I mean,
all of the above.
I'm enjoying it. And it's not like I didn't know about it before, but it just seems, and I do think that there's even talking on the radio and bringing all this stuff forward, and I do think that it enhances the process. I just do. I think.
Yeah.
I do that. There's some kind of that's I guess for me that validation word that it gives it something that creates more of it, or somehow it's working exponentially. And that's why, you know, I like to share with people that bringing it forward, and this is, so in other words, don't leave it unseen within yourself. Bring it forward, you know, because it's important to me. It's important to me for people in expansion, in your awareness. So, it's been, it's always amazing, though, when Goldie goes, yeah, I was watching something about Mars, and then I go, oh, I dreamt about talking about a man who went to Mars, because, yeah, I saw a bluebird in the, I'm like, oh, you know, so it's pretty wild.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's literally, you know, the barriers of being separate, from my perception, are clearly coming down. And it's so interesting because it's happening mostly, or at least I'm aware of it happening mostly, in the one place that I'm most attracted to be in, and that's human behavior. You know, because I'm noticing it in synchronicities with like the friend that I saw tonight, we haven't spoken in months, when he called me yesterday, the day before, you know, he popped into my head, and I was like, oh, wow, I wonder how he's doing. I hope he's doing well. And, you know, the next day when he called, I was like, get out. You know, like, and when I told him that, he goes, well, you should be used to that by now. And I was like, it's not that I don't think it can happen, but I'm in seventh grade here. I still get extremely excited when something shows up first in my third eye or my view of whatever, my inner view. And then it shows up on the outside because, I mean, that is just a clear indication. Whatever's going on, I'm in an alignment with more than just the third dimension. And that's, I realize that, you know, there's a part of me that at some point is going to walk through that vesica Pisces right into the fifth dimension. But I'm clearly getting, if I become in the now moment completely build up in this dimension, the fourth dimension, where I am now, if I completely become that which is seen, that which is unseen, if I become completely aware of both, it will include the fifth dimension. It includes, you know, it's like there's, I call Janine the professional waiter because she has this real understanding, a real grasp of patience is not so. I wouldn't call her patience in the sense of she knows how to be in the moment in completion, even if, you know, like when we hit this wall today, when we were going along this river and we both came to a space, we could feel it where our awareness didn't go beyond that point. And, you know, I was like, wow, you know, after we discussed that, we felt that stopping, you know, me, I was like, you know, all right, well, let's find the weak brick. Let's start picking the wall down. You know, and Janine is like, or we could just sit with it and see, you know, what happens. You know, like, and I was like, you know, because it's like I won't even sit with the accomplishment of getting, because where I got today, even though it has a wall that stopped me, is still further than I was yesterday. I mean, we talked about Mars. It's like I never just sit with it. I won't say never. I'm learning to do it more and more. My initial conditioning drives me to just, it's not about where I am. It's about keep going and get more. You know, that whole mental construct of, you need more. You gotta have more. It's that insatiability that never gets fulfilled. That is such a mind. Pardon my French. That's just a mind fuck. I mean, it is, because you never get to enjoy. And the swing side of that is completely being present and exploring what awareness I do have, and finding the joy. You know, in what is, instead of seeking what I don't have.
Well, you know, and also it's, you know, I think you could sense it today too, because it was really, for me, from an exploration point of view, or almost like the scientist point of view, it was so pretty amazing to actually, both of us, to feel that place where we're like, oh, okay, so we've gone as far as we can on that one. But what was good about it was, is it doesn't at all feel like a handicap, or like,
not
oh,
at all. Absolutely.
Or
absolutely.
Like, oh, we hit a wall. I mean, I just knew it was like, it's not like a permanent wall. It was just,
right.
For now,
right.
That's as far as we could go. But,
right.
You know, when I was a kid, I recall this. And now I look at it and I go, oh, see, it was there then, you know. But I remember two things. One, I would sit in the backyard and literally, they probably looked out the window and said, oh, do you think she's okay? What is she doing? You know, because I would sit out in the back, outside in the yard, and just wait all day to see if the wild animals would come close to me, or I could just get a little closer and just
oh,
sit
nice.
There. Yeah, and I think, you know, because I loved the idea, you know, one thing to have animals in your house and, quote, you know, domestic animals, but I thought,
right.
Well, there was something so amazing about the wildlife. So
I have the exact same thought. That's interesting.
Yeah, I would sit outside and just see, oh, that squirrel came really close this time, and, you know, or, ooh, that bird. And I would just sit there, and I really... Now that I'm thinking about it, my parents are probably going, what is she doing?
Yeah, but no, or the parents are going, wow, she's so good. Thank God she's just sitting quietly.
That's 3 hours she's sitting there. No, but then the other thing I would do is I had these favorite trees, and I could just sit in a tree. I was so happy in certain trees. I just could sit there and I would be like, this is the best place ever. I just felt so...
I totally understand that.
In a
totally
home,
like,
it was like being in your home.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, these are those... And that was just fun, you know, and I didn't need anyone to be with me. It was just me and the tree, and I was like in the leaves, and, you know, you almost felt like a bird, or you could be, you know, you felt like a little creature, you know, so...
Mm.
So this is probably where, like, my patience and waiting skills really were, like, were getting honed or something. And I didn't even know it.
Yeah.
But
well,
yeah.
It's also your keen awareness, Janine, to be quite honest. Your awareness of the space within space.
Yeah.
because if you think about it, first of all, time and space are the exact same thing in the third dimension. Because, you know, what time is it? Well, where was each planet? And, you know, that's how we adjust our time based on the sun, you know, the Earth, the sun rising and falling, where the planets are. So time and space are intricately connected. And ultimately, when you can wait without waiting, that means you have, you're not separate from the sun. You know, you don't, in order to travel, you don't have to go from point A to point B. That's a vibration. That's how vibration travels. If you're the space in between, it's just a shift in consciousness to get from point A to point B because you're everything. And you eliminate time and space because if you can be everywhere, anytime, everywhere, you know what I mean? Now it's just points of perception. You know, it is a total understanding of time being from a circular perspective, because if you're filling up the space that's the unseen part, then there's no part where you're not. You're in all time.
Yeah. Well, of course. I mean, you know, and I mean, another thing, and you know, Nassim is not the only one that's ever said this, and you just mentioned the DNA, and someone said something about junk DNA, but the vastness of our intelligence that's not tapped into yet is equal to the amount of empty space all around us that is actually not empty at all.
Yes.
So we are that. We are that. You know, it's like, so...
Yes.
Yeah, so that's the thing. Like, once you start naturally, intuitively, instinctively, sensorily tapping into that with some kind of ease, you can't help but notice all these things. I mean, and fortunately, it's not like overload. It's just sort of this, like, ooh, you know, and you share it, and then you might create something, and then, you know, you get to talk on a radio show and, you know, go and say, ooh, and there's something so amazing about going, well, we're going to talk, but we don't really know about what, but we're going to follow something. And to me, that's like such an opportunity, and it just actually enhances my process. It does.
Yeah.
So you know, thank you to you for inviting me, because
baby, you had to show up, and you're showing up. Thank you for showing up. I mean, truly, it's just an amazing time. In my humble opinion, this is an amazing time to be self-expressive. However, you know, we do it on the air. You do it with your paintings. I mean, I'm doing it through art. I mean, It doesn't matter. You want it, you can do it through magic markers, crayons, pencils, chalk, rock. I mean, flower arrangement. Self-expression part is the important part.
Absolutely, and that's where. Okay, so now you just reminded me. When things occur, and you go, "Oh my, I can't believe that happened," but you're like, I'll take it because it's amazing, and it almost has a little bit of that magic quality where you're going, wow, which is basically what's happening a lot now. I mean, if you read on my website about the process or the original concept that I have of initiation art, which is validating experience and personal courage, and it, by doing that, you literally initiate yourself. And what I'm finding is, I mean, I know you did a piece and you're finding, but I have found that I've worked with a few people from 9 and 10 years old to 46. You're 46, but 42.
I was going to say, maybe I'm the oldest.
Some of the things that have happened effortlessly without me doing anything else therapeutically but creating initiation art with these people, and I don't really do anything. I just am there as sort of the, you know, a physical support. But I've seen amazing progress. And so the ultimate, to me, of a person validating themselves is create a piece of initiation art, and you just, there's something solid that happens. Then you initiate.
It's tangible.
It's definitely tangible. So, and it just happened to me this week with a little girl, and I was floored, and it was wonderful, and it was beautiful, and you know, I will keep it anonymous because I should, but it just was one of those moments where I went, really? Like, I'm like, well, and it was great. And I'm just,
yeah.
You know, it's another, you were listening, watching some Mars series, and I'm talking to a man who was just on Mars, and that's just going to keep on happening. But.
Well, because what I welcome everybody to do is, you know, if the unconscious or the subconscious, which I have a feeling are probably two of the same thing,
mm-hmm.
are becoming conscious, from my perspective, it's almost like, do you want to be on a raft in the middle of the ocean and it takes you wherever you're going to go, or do you want to be on a boat that has a wheel? I mean, in other words, you're still on the ocean. You're still coming into your own awarenesses. The reason why I'm saying this is, like, for me, I've had control issues all my life. I'm letting go of the control issues, but I'm not letting go of the tools that are
right.
helping me in the sense of, you know, I initiated infinite trust. The funny part about it, boy, if I had any idea of what infinite trust actually meant, I might have initiated something different. but, you know, on the same note, I am definitely one, I've been parasailing, I've never been paragliding or parachuting, but I'll tell you, there is something about, I like taking big risks in my own experience. I mean, this is why, I mean, I'm essentially, I've been job free since May. And, you know, it's so funny. I mean, I've got an interview coming up on Friday, and it's with an infant, and, you know, well, we'll try it again. But there's something truly going on in the awareness department throughout my whole being that it's taking out the worry. I can't explain why that is, because nothing is shifting in my physical world to make me not worry. It's all in my perceptual awareness that is telling me not to worry. And it's not just telling me like it's outside of me. Like, I'm kind of getting this, you know, we're all looking for our soulmates. Now, first of all, I can honestly tell you, Janine is a soulmate of mine. I hands down, I know it. We are just cut from the same, you know, cookie stone that's playful and all that wonderful stuff. Now, I know many of us are looking for a, quote, a soulmate or a twin flame. And, you know, what I would invite people to, even if they want to initiate, take a piece of initiation art to create, is meeting yourself. Because I'm really starting to understand from a perceptual level that the clarity that's coming through is me being one with the part of me that I'm a projection of. You know, the next level of consciousness, some call it Christ consciousness, some call it your soul. I don't have details on, you know, names and all that. I just know what I'm feeling, and I'm feeling that the reason why it's okay to let go of, you know, quote-unquote romantic relationships in my life, the reason why it's okay to let go of friends who I, you know, would just babble and babble and babble on the phone with is all right, is because I am connecting with an aspect of myself. You know, it's huge. It's huge. I'm not connecting with Saint Germain. I'm not connecting with Christ himself or Buddha. I'm connecting with Golden Hawk, you know, an aspect, and I don't even know what name it goes by. I don't know if it has a gender. I just know there's a sense that a part of me is looking out for me. And it's like, mm-hmm. and if that part of me is looking out for me, not working right now, I'm not going that part of me has, you know, hit the casinos and said, let her swim on her own for a while. the security I have is that that part of me, I think, has something new coming for me. I don't know what it is. It could be a new family. It could be in radio. Shucks. It could be bringing people out to the forest to smell tree bark. I don't know what it is, but I
trust.
Yeah,
I noticed the subtle. But, yeah, I don't know. First, for my initiation art is self-validating. It's self-initiating. It's honoring personal courage and experience.
Exactly.
And there is something that happens with that. And you used a better word. I said solid, and you said something else, that it really does bring it into this presence. Like there, and you know, what's interesting about presence is that this is just an amazing natural process, that the more you work with yourself and uncover and self-initiate, and you know, I love that word.
Yeah.
I use that word playfully
yeah.
when
it's
I go
a great
I dare,
word.
And I go I dare you, because I dare you is just a playful way of saying go on, do it, you know. But because I always said to my teacher that I love so much, the anthropologist where I found the magic, and I said, boy, it should have come with like your life will never be the same, but in a great way, you know, because
right,
yeah, because it's just amazing. And you know, when, and I call it magical because of writing children's books, and I always try to kind of, you know, the magic just kind of comes out of the book. But you when you're writing children's books, you can't help but touch those areas, which is a natural thing for me. But you know, this presence just really increases in yourself.
Exactly.
because of the relationship with yourself.
Exactly.
Like, yes.
Exactly.
It's not that you increase your presence by concentrating on a relationship outside of yourself. The real true presence comes from, you know, from a true self. You know, I'm going in there.
It's a going.
I'm going
with
down the cellar. I'm turning on the lights. I'm going in the attic. I'm gonna look in the attic. I'm going.
Yeah.
You know, it's like
yeah.
don't leave any room in the dark. Turn on all the lights. Look at everything.
Turn on the lights. Absolutely. Explore
and
yourself.
And
it's not about leaving a relationship. I want people to. If you're in a relationship, it's not about becoming single. That's not what I'm saying at all.
No, it is about
the intent to get to know self.
Involvement in life. But
exactly.
No, but there's this real presence does occur with the relationship with the self. And, you know, that can only enhance, by the way, true relationships. You know, in relationship with others.
Totally.
The presence is just going to make other relationships that are true great. I mean, you know, you start having fun and magic just keeps happening, you know, and it's great. And You know, I do
want
to say.
Well, and if the relationship doesn't survive it, then... You know,
that was,
I look at it and say,
because
it, right,
the wrong
it,
place,
it played
you know?
Its course. It played its course, and I mean,
and
I have let go of relationships
to,
my whole
see,
life.
See, that's another thing. This is another act of courage, though, but also of truth, is that I remember I was afraid of losing my marriage by exploring, you know, but I. This was my destiny. I was following this. And my marriage didn't make it for many reasons, but it was just part of life. I mean, that, you know, you can't not grow and go, well, that's good. I didn't grow, but I still have my marriage. And you're like, well, no, that's not how it works. You know,
that's a priority mishap.
Yeah, it is. It is. And, you know, it's just part of life. And,
right.
And you, I know I embraced the authenticness and the truth of relationship, and you know it didn't make it, and that's okay. You know, it really is. And
right.
So,
well, or it was complete in what it did. It was complete, and it brought you to where it brought you. That
yes,
was its purpose.
Right. But it was also an act of courage. which is following your heart, you know, and
right. Yes.
Yep. So, you know, so it's just time. It's definitely time.
Or timing, even. You know what I mean? It's almost like an ongoing timing.
But it's such a perfect time to, like, you know, take the leap.
Well, I agree. Exploring self, that is the leap that, you know, people are awakening all over the place. And, I it's an interesting thing because I can remember, you know, like prior to my 30s, I would watch shows, you know, that would show people, you know, the midlife crisis of, you know, like their world would just start falling apart. And, you know, I can remember scratching myself going, I'm not going to go through that. You know, whatever that is,
yeah.
You know, I just was like, I mean, little did I know, I wasn't going to go through it in my 40s. I went through it in 30. the midlife crisis is really just about the soul kind of amps up its presence in your life. Because if we're not raised by soulful beings, the truth is it's our pain body creating what we have. I mean, that is the clarity that I garnished this weekend on, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, I always said that, listen, I came to a duality or polarity dimension. I'm not going to be surprised, you know, that I wake up knee-deep in shit. I mean, that's what this dimension is all about. So this isn't about, you know, regretting or feeling guilty about, you know, oh, I created from my pain body. It's just about there is a choice if it's your time that you don't have to create from your pain body anymore. Or as I kind of got is, I started realizing that when the pain body was like my total focus and I was totally engulfed, mm-hmm. It's so funny, me and Janine were talking about this, I was literally killing my pain. I mean, that's what cocaine does. Cocaine makes you numb. It makes you numb physically. Holy shit. But emotionally, your pain is off the charts from a Richter scale reading. I mean, because that which we don't feel doesn't get neutralized. It gets bigger and bigger and bigger. So what ended up happening is the inside of me that I, all the emotional stuff that I wouldn't address for from 18 to 30 came clobbering down on me at 30 when I finally said, okay, it's time to feel. I can't do the drugs anymore. I can't medicate myself anymore. I can't not feel anymore. But there's a difference between, for me anyways, the pain that took me down to the bottom was the denial of the pain. Then there was the pain that brought me into this space that I'm in now. See, pain is our servant and our teacher when we're kind of in our sobriety. And Janine likes that word. That when we're sober and allowing ourselves to feel our pain, that pain is like, what's that technique called when people use lasers and it incarcerates the blood capillaries, right? They can cut with it, but you don't bleed because it immediately, as it cuts, also seals.
It cauterizes.
Right on, sister. Ah, right. We have a nurse with us, of course. So the pain, when we're utilizing it coming up from the bottom, it has a very different flavor to it than the pain that took me down to the bottom. Because I was bleeding out all over the place when I was on drugs because it was all unconscious. It was all being stuffed. It was all being denied. You know, I'm just kind of going, I feel good. I feel good. I feel good. You know, and I'm going to bed going, I feel like shit. I feel like shit. I feel like shit. You know, it's like there's got to be an authenticity about it. And again, it's not, you know, I'm actually getting to the point where it's not even the pain doesn't – the pain doesn't take me down where it used to. I mean, the pain definitely affects me, but it's not my only teacher anymore. The awareness itself is becoming my teacher because I think I've reached a point that my subconscious is no longer this big space. I mean, I'm willing to go into my subconscious. I'm willing to look at, you know, my pain body. I mean, my whole last relationship with Scott was all about my pain body because he never treated me well. But I had to understand it. Now that I do, it's like cigarettes. I just don't have the craving to be around him anymore. It's like, hey, you know, I wish you well. Good luck in everything. You know, I'm going to go chill over here. You know, and at this point, you know, just chill. You know, I'm not getting right back into another relationship. I'm not even looking for one. If it shows up, that's one thing. But I'm not actively, you know, doing the dating scene and the personals and all that. It's just, you know, everything is just changing. It's changing at a speed. It's lightning. I mean, I don't want anybody out there who's listening to the show to believe that you can't get from where you are if where you are is not feeling in a comfortable way. You can always get it back into center, but it might take some pain to get there. It's just you know, there's a difference in the pain that took you down and the pain that takes you back to center. And you're gonna go, well, pain is pain. It's like, well, no, because are you choosing to look at your pain? Are you facing it or are you running away from it? I promise you, those two questions, if you ask yourself, will give you tremendously different experiences with your pain, tremendously different results.
Yeah, and you know, you actually, when you're allowing the pain to be there and to kind of let you know, that's actually a good sign that you're not stuffing it, that you're not numbing it.
Totally.
That you're, you know, even, you know, I'll even use another word that, you know, it's just, I go, just know it's feeling weird, you know, but it's like, hey, that's okay because you even said it before, if there's, you're going through so much and learning and letting go of belief systems and coming into new awarenesses, it can't possibly all feel just like, yeah, I got it all down. I feel really great.
Because
it's impossible. Because it's,
right.
Cause it's part of the process that we're going through. So, you know, it's a really good sign. And it's something to just calm yourself. And that's why, you know, I probably metaphorically and realistically lit the candles tonight because it was just a nice feeling. But I just think that it's really important to know that pain and discomfort and nervousness and, you know, feeling a little weird, you want to work with that. You don't want to numb it. You don't
want
to, quote, kill the pain. You don't. You want
right.
to work with the pain.
Right.
You know, you
because I promise you, if you're killing the pain, you're killing yourself. You're not killing the pain.
Yeah.
You're killing your own awareness. Yeah.
And your presence, because presence really occurs when, you know, you're just fully in, like Golden Hawk and I talk about not being half a circle, but you're a whole circle. And if you're a whole circle, you're literally encompassing all of you. You're, you know, and you're working with it. And, you know, that includes the discomfort, the pain, the weird feelings, you know. And, So it's just something I knew we were going to talk about tonight that was, you know, that was good to bring up.
Yeah.
And I remember this morning going, weird, feeling weird. Well, probably because I was talking to that guy who had visited Mars. And, you know, I actually cannot remember what he told me, but maybe I woke up and I was like, I feel weird. So who knows what he was telling me, you know?
I think just remembering you were talking to him was enough to bring, you know, there was, you know, again, life, this is something that was interesting that happened to me recently. You know, we had the time change, you know, daylight saving.
Right, right.
Well, what was so interesting was, I think it was 2 days before, like we changed it on Sunday nights or Saturday night, Sunday morning, Saturday night. And that Friday night, I woke up and my battery clock was an hour different than my cable clock. So I changed it by an hour. Now, what's so interesting is cable didn't go into daylight savings time until like a day later.
Wow, that is wild.
Yeah, and I, because when I said to Wani when I went to work, I was like, did you guys change your clocks? And it's like, it didn't happen. And I went, yeah, of course it happened. And they were like, no. And I went, well, it happened in my house. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what timeline you're on, but and the thing was, the following Sunday, or Saturday, I had to do it again.
Oh, that is funny.
So,
and
you
who
know,
knows?
Who knows? But if we're open to it, you know,
yeah.
Timelines, conscious levels, aware, it just seems like we're really opening up to a whole, oh, my God, a whole bevy of beautiful things. I mean,
well, yeah,
beautiful
yeah.
things. Things that I mean, we just truly can't even, you know, even as children, I don't think we had the capacity to really understand what we're opening up to as a reality. Yeah.
Right, and for instance, one of the real, you know, new understandings of it's most probably happening is that there are multiple timelines. There are
yes, there are
artificial timelines. There are organic timelines. There, you know, I was talking about the Miyazaki movie Howl's Moving Castle, and what I thought was so great about that animated film was that, you know, the little girl was in the house and there was a dial next to the door, and depending on what color she put it on when she opened the door was a new portal or a new timeline.
That's
and,
phenomenal.
Yeah, and I remember she fell down this cliff, and you know, she didn't get hurt because it's an animated cartoon, and that was nice. And she landed way down in this canyon, and then there was this dark entrance, and she, you know, she went into this dark entrance, which I thought was very symbolic for the willingness to, you know, go into the unseen of yourself. But
right,
she ended up in the timeline of her dear friend's childhood, where she could actually see what happened to him and how she could help him. And I just thought, now this is something that I really do think is happening now, that acknowledging it is important, because I just feel it is happening. And the way, that's why it's probably why we might be feeling a little off or weird, because, you know, it's new to the awareness. So as you become, but you at the very least want to acknowledge that these things are happening multiple timelines. To me is actually then also multiple realities, but you know, so that's just right there is something that you could go, oh wow, that is new, you know, or that is a new awareness, or wow, yeah, we weren't really taught that, or you know. And once again, I know I'm repeating this, but when Nassim said, you don't get a degree in archaeology if you don't say that the Egyptians built the pyramids, when in fact it's impossible that they built them. So everything
right.
we learned in school is, you know, and they say most likely they were built by sun gods. And I'm so funny, I Google sun gods and pin images, and I'm like, I want to see one.
I love it.
And I'm like, oh, well, Google doesn't have pictures of sun gods. But,
oh,
you know,
I was going to say, what came up? Okay, really? Okay.
Nothing.
Okay.
I got to explore further for that one. I got to go way beyond Google to see if, you know, but, but these are just similar to the misinformation or the wrong historical teachings that are ridiculous.
Yeah.
They're ridiculous.
Yeah.
The fact
yeah.
that there's one timeline is also the same thing. So that's the new awarenesses that I'm going, you know, you got to validate them because.
Yeah.
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 So.
Yeah. And they're happening. It's almost like, or
yeah,
at least intended.
Be
yeah, of course. I mean, it's.
Yeah.
It's just a part of, you know, really, it's all parts of self. It's like, I mean, that's what I, this isn't, it doesn't have to be scary. It's not like we're awakening up to worlds
no.
that we're not a part of. We're awakening to worlds that we're already in. We're just not aware that we're in them. You know, it's like,
no,
because
no.
I mean, yeah.
It's what, you know, it's like, it's wonderful, actually, because I'll tell you what doesn't feel good. Lack of, you know, your own liberation and limit and being so limited by incorrect belief systems is really
right.
what
right.
is very self-tormenting. So I'm all for, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah,
it's letting go of that which has kept us in this.
Yes, because that's,
you know,
very
space
uncomfortable.
Of, that's right on. That is
yes.
right on.
Yes,
yes.
Very uncomfortable
yeah.
to be trapped in these old belief systems. You know, they
yeah.
feel like I'm just like, ah, get them off me, you know. And
yeah, they're very heavy. They're very
yeah.
heavy. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's, I think that's also, like, in some ways you've over the course of, like, a couple weeks, you've used the word celebratory. But I do think that, as you start liberating yourself and breaking old belief systems, you do feel celebratory, and that's something to really enjoy. You know, so when you have these feelings that come up and you're like, it's, that's why I'm a big encourager of don't push those feelings away, because when you deal with them, you move to a
yeah.
new place of liberation, and it
yeah.
really is great, you know?
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
and you know, then you have another little impasse that you got to deal with, and then you move to a new place of liberation.
Yeah, it's cyclical. It's definitely cyclical. And,
yeah.
you know, it's interesting because it's like one of the things I'm becoming aware of just from my own experience is that I'm definitely celebrating. I'm celebrating the love I have for myself.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so interesting because it is the pain. That is, when I allow myself to feel the pain, like, because one of the things that became very clear to me is, I mean, me and Janine, we talk basically on a daily basis, you know, about whatever awareness we're going through at that time. And what hit me all of a sudden this weekend was that, you know, it's Janine isn't just wonderfully sharing with me her awarenesses, and I'm sharing my awarenesses, and we're sharing each other's perceptions of what each of it is. And, you know, Janine also shared the weekend with me when Dakini went missing, and I went into a very, very dark space that was, I mean, that was just very similar to me. I remember it as when I used to go very dark in the height of my drug use. And the reason why I'm saying this is, there is something incredible when that the two halves, you know, whether you think of yourself as not good enough or the part of you that thinks you're better than everybody because you've taken courses or taken classes or worked with a certain guru, when you start literally allowing all aspects of yourself to become part of this experience, the physical body, when you, because see, it's about going through this body. This body is going to get to the zero point. We're going through compression right now. It's not going to stop until the entire cosmos is the size of, you know, whatever, an atom. You know, that's what the zero point is, when everything, you know, through compression compresses down to a very small thing. And if everybody's mind's going, oh, you know, we couldn't compress that small, it's like, well, just look at outer space. It's happening all the time where, you know, suns collapse and then they go into, you know, a minute black hole that, you know, whether it grows or not, it, you know, depends on the star and everything. Supernovas are all about the collapsing of these things. So it's happening all the time. But it's not happening necessarily all the time with third-dimensional beings on the planet. And so what I'm getting is the celebration is, you know, when I go through a weekend of pain, which I went through just recently, I mean, shit, lots of weekends of pain. All I know is it's like I'm standing, it's like I've got my, what's that? There's a saying when you're on a boat, I got my sea legs on. My sea legs are basically, okay, I made it through some very painful experiences, and most of it, the pain that I was thinking about, never even came to fruition. I mean, so it's not the pain itself is usually about me not getting what I want. Not necessarily what I'm thinking is going to happen is going to happen. That doesn't always happen. It's usually about something's not being given to me in relationships and whether it's with my cat. And I'm just really finding that, you know, the less I, you know, there's, what is it, the Buddhas, they go for, you know, no desires. It's like I'm kind of getting to the place where, you know, I have one desire to get into the fifth dimension. Now, how I get there, I don't know how I'm going to get there, you know. But it does seem to make sense for me that letting go of more and more. Like, I heard somebody say recently, manifestations are just like things that become tethered to you that you got to carry up the hill.
Yeah.
And I don't know. That struck me as so, like, at least for me right now, I'm not looking to manifest, you know. I mean, it would be great to have a job. The most I'm doing to manifest right now is answering care.com things, you know, ads that come to my email. I mean, I'm not passing out flyers. I'm not working on promotions. I don't know. I can't, because it doesn't feel that's where I'm supposed to be right now. I'm letting go of everything. And then I'm not saying it's a bad thing if you're manifesting right now. It's just for me that, I'm getting that if you travel lightly, when you go through this zero point, it's a lot easier than, you know, getting everything crushed with a whole lot of stuff around you. I mean, I don't have the wisdom to know why this is working for me. But if it's something you're feeling, I wouldn't be afraid of letting go of these goals and desires, you know, that society clearly says, you know, is what we're supposed to be doing to be successful. I don't think success is any longer based on, you know, how big a house or how many cars. Success is changing dramatically from the material world telling us what we're successful to what your soul considers a successful experience, a successful incarnation. And don't be afraid of it. You know, and it's not about just telling yourself don't be afraid, but know that, you know, if your goal is going through, if you feel that things are leaving you, instead of trying to hold on to them, maybe flip a belief so that you're now incongruent with things being allowed to leave. You know, that's, focus more on what the beliefs are around what's happening as opposed to trying to change what's happening. You don't have to pray a hurricane away. You just have to pray for the clarity to know why it's hurricaning around you.
Flipping belief systems are fun and very useful, because a lot of times, I'll think of a solution and I'll go, oh, you know, maybe the solution is the exact opposite of what I thought it was. I'm always amazed that you can even, it's like even considering the opposite, and then you're like, yeah, but why not? I mean, you know,
exactly.
And it's just very, very freeing. I mean, it just is, you know, and so I love the idea of flipping a belief system, you know. For even the practice of it, because you get
to
much
know that
better
you can
being flexible and agile and, you know, kind of being like flying by the seat of your pants, so to speak, like, you know. Yeah, I love that. Well,
yeah,
I do.
No, absolutely.
I just think that,
absolutely.
I think that's where, you know, if you're gifted that way, it's really fun, because you can, you know, it just makes life, like, less rigid. And then you get better at it. You can get better at it. So,
And change is happening so rapidly right now. I invite everyone to get into the entrainment of the change as it's happening, you know, within reality itself. Reality is changing consistently, all the time, rapidly.
Yep.
That's my humble opinion, anyways. Yep. Yep. That's right. Crack me open another cold one, Vern. You know, it gives a whole new meaning to watching the grass grow.
That's good. I reckon so. I reckon so.
Exactly. Oh, my. That was good. Yeah.
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 Mm,
yeah.
So,
yeah. So, yeah. It's been an interesting week. Very, very interesting week.
Yeah. But everybody's dream times are kind of happening, you know?
I would imagine. I would imagine. Even though there are some people that I know that say they don't remember their dreams, you know, or mm-hmm. they used to say they don't dream to me. Like Polar Bear used to say, I don't dream. And I'm like, of course you dream. You don't remember them.
Right.
But you have to dream because it's. I don't believe this. The soul, from what I've learned, the soul needs to get out of, you know, when it's just in this dimension, it needs mm-hmm. to fly and soar and do whatever it needs to do when we're asleep because, you know, there's a sense of being, you know, the limitations from the polarity are very, you know, stifling to the soul because the soul remembers, you know, its multidimensionalness. And we don't necessarily in this part of the soul's expression don't express it. If we're not expressing it, then you're not experiencing it. And if you're not experiencing it, the soul is feeling, you know, kind of like, get me out of here.
Yeah, and also kind of leaving the confines of the body and, you
exactly.
know, going elsewhere and traveling. And, and Robert Monroe talked a lot about that,
exactly.
which is fun.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Hey, I got a question for you. We only got a few minutes left, but if there ever came a time, you know how Robert, the Monroe Institute does, you know, they do a week-long.
Yeah.
Hemi syncing things. Would you ever be open to doing that?
Yeah, possibly, unless it's kind of a lot of money. Because right now,
circumstances would have to be different. But if money wasn't a factor, would you be open to doing it?
Yeah, I mean, for sure, I'm definitely.
Okay. It's a bucket list.
You know, I loved Robert Monroe's book.
Yeah.
The one you lent me.
Yeah.
Ultimate Journey.
There you go. It's the third one.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's the third one in a trilogy. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. And it was great. And the final thread was, we are eternal beings. So, you know, don't act as if we're not, because we are.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Because that's what I believe this whole quote unquote apocalypse is all about. We are truly remembering. You know, that, and if we're eternal, remember, if we go throughout time, we also go throughout space. You can't do one without the other. That it's just two separate perspectives of the same truth. To be eternal means you're in all of space. That's
yeah, and I love the idea of going over the event horizon as if it looks like death to us, but it actually isn't at all.
Yeah, right on. Right
yeah.
on.
Yeah. So that's the big unseen.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, here's to a conscious death, yeah. It's not suicide anymore, my friends. No, it's consciously dying. There is a big difference. We're not running away from it. We're just allowing it to happen.
Right.
Will you share with our audience where they can get a hold of you and see your stuff and
yeah, and my art and
yes.
Okay,
yes.
It's my name is my website. It's jlkimmel.com, KIMMEL.com. And I also and on there I have art that originals are for sale and prints for sale, and you can just really kind of have fun looking at all my wilderness art and my creatures and characters from books. And I also have another website called springtreepress.com, and on there is all about the books that I've co-written and written solo, and some posters that are really beautiful if you want for children's rooms, and they bring in a really enchantment and a lot of color. So and the polar bear's getting around quite a bit.
You hear that, polar bear? You're getting around.
So thanks. Yes, thank you.
Oh, my pleasure. Of course. Of course. And you can find me at anotherrealityshow.com or Golden Hawk on Facebook. Keep on trucking along, everyone. You know, it's funny because it's the worst of times and it's the best of times. It really is. You know, we're coming together. We're going through a compression, and we're going to be fine. We're going to be fine. Whatever it is, our journey, we're going to be fine. And, you know, beyond that, you know, we'll just keep coming up, you know, every couple of days and talking about things.
Yeah, and spend time in nature. And
there you go.
So she's real supportive, and make some initiation art. And then watch what happens.
Yes. And like I said, at the very least, initiate getting to know yourself. The self-awareness, boy, it'll change your life. I promise you it'll change. Magically, it will change your life. I dare you. All right. Thank you so much for being here, everyone. I love you, Janine. You just rock my world, my sweet friend.
Thank you, Paul. And, I love you, too.
We'll see you next week. We'll be around next week. And this Thursday is – oh, I have a channeler coming on the show this Thursday. Nancy Ward, I think she channels a group consciousness. So tune in. She'll be doing mini readings if you're open to it. All right. I love everybody. And we'll talk to you next week. Bye.
Okay, bye.
Love you all. Gotta go.
Bye.
Together, we just get started, and before you know.